All I'm going to say is this. This is a big opportunity this week for us to go up to New England and a Michigan legend showing up so much on the line, so much at stake, and one of the all-time greats from the University of Michigan coming up with a big game and showing the world once again how good he is. But enough about me. What's your first question?
That is right. It is game day. It is NFL playoffs live, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. That was Taylor Lewan setting the tone. I'm Chase McCabe. He is Buck Rising, the good captain, Captain Kurt, behind the glass. Welcome into ESPN 102.5, the game. The Titans and the Patriots will do battle later tonight in the divisional round of the playoffs in Foxborough. We will head to Foxborough at the bottom of this hour and bring in News Channel 5's John Burton. He is with the team. He has been at the team hotel covering them since they landed in Foxborough, albeit after a little bit of a delay yesterday due to various things going on with the weather and the airport. But we will talk to him at the bottom of the hour. But Buck, we are finally here. We've been talking about this all week long. I don't think if you ask anybody in the media and asked them to tell the truth, they would have told you, yeah, we were going to be talking about a divisional playoff matchup for the Tennessee Titans, but here we are.
It really is fascinating, isn't it? I mean, we spend months upon months upon months of this NFL season talking about how this Tennessee Titans team has underachieved, how they have not met expectations, how they are a misery to watch, or maybe that was just me. And here we are, getting ready to talk about a divisional matchup against Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots, the dynasty, one of the greatest dynasties in sports, not just the NFL. I mean, this is really, really exciting, and I'm not even a Titans fan. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't, if you're in this city, if you follow the Tennessee Titans, if you have any attachment to this team or the people on it at all, I don't know how you can't be fired up for today's game.
I'm kind of numb, to be honest with you, because I didn't expect it. You know, I thought going into this season that there would be an improvement and that, yes, they'd probably make the playoffs. I was thinking that they'd win the AFC South because the AFC South is abysmal. But that didn't happen. There was times where, really all year, where you were thinking, okay, this team's taking a step back. This is not good. There are going to be changes. And yet somehow, some way, they found a way to win games that – you know, maybe it looked like they weren't going to in the middle of that game. You know, they weren't playing well. You go back to last week, it's a prime example. They're getting blown out 21-3 at the half. It is all over. And then somehow, some way, they come back, score 19 unanswered, and win the game 22-21. Marcus Mariota throws a pass to himself in that victory. And really, I think
– A pass to himself for a touchdown.
For a touchdown. You're seeing Marcus Mariota, especially over the past 2 weeks, while we've talked about him in year three and how he's regressed and concerns about that, but now you're starting to just see him make up for all of that. You're seeing what we thought was going to happen all year long finally start to show itself, and you ask the question of how we got here. I think that's how we got here. I think you have to look at the quarterback.
Oh, man. I mean, if you're asking me how we got here, I don't believe it. No, man.
That's a fair answer.
It's been a very up and down season, literally, for the Tennessee Titans. And you talk about Marcus Mariota showing up in big spots and him being the impetus for this Tennessee Titans team being in the spot that they're in. You know, I'm fascinated with all the advanced analytics in sports. Particularly how much they've been able to do in the NBA. And the NBA has, you know, certain stats in terms of clutch time. Mm-hmm. I would be interested if there was a way to come up with NFL advanced metrics for clutch statistics, what Marcus Mariota's clutch statistics would have been this season. Because, I mean, you know, when we talk about the 22-21 wild card win against the Kansas City Chiefs, like, everything that was swirling around the Tennessee Titans in terms of the coach's job security, in terms of what it would mean for a team that was picked to go 12-4 by some or as the fourth best team in football before the season began. You know, a 1-point win caused by essentially a quarterback catching a touchdown pass thrown by himself cemented what this team is going to look like for the foreseeable future, because now Mike Mularkey's not going anywhere. You can't let him go anywhere. And now this Tennessee Titan, I mean, this is what we're going to be looking at. We have a blueprint for the Tennessee Titans moving forward, and it all came about through pure randomness, it would seem.
Right, and I think that's something that you still have to address, you still have to look at. You know, even it's going to be hard to justify if you win today saying, hey, we need you to make some changes on your coaching staff. But there are still things big picture-wise that you have to look at. Now, if you have figured out a system that works with this staff that allows you to be successful, then fine, do that. You know, because the thing with Marcus Mariota that we've noticed is when you put him in a clutch situation, when you put him in that 4-minute or 2-minute offense, you run the no huddle, you are playing to his strengths. That is something he is really, really good at. When you are kind of starting off the game and trying to figure out what the pace of the game is, that's where he has struggled. And going through, you know, most teams will tell you, or most players will tell you, that, you know, the first 20-something plays of a game are going to be scripted. You're going to run the script. That's where he has struggled. That's where this offense has struggled, when they're going off that script. When they go off script, when Marcus has to improvise, when Marcus is the one making the call, that's when you are seeing the successes of this team. Now, clearly you can't do that for a full 60 minutes. That's not going to work. They have to figure out how to make the other things work. But that's where we're seeing him really come into his own and take over and be the cliche field general.
Ah, nothing like football cliches to get you started on your Saturday morning.
Absolutely. You are so welcome.
the thing that you mentioned there that strikes me a particular way, Corey Curtis was on Jared and the GM yesterday, and he was talking about the success that the Tennessee Titans have had and how everybody, it would seem, that he's talked to, and I mean, this goes for me and I'm sure you as well, is basically going out of their way to discredit the coaching staff, even as they continue to have success. So I don't want to totally diminish the job that, you know, offensive coordinator Terry Robiskie, and certainly not the job that Mike Mularkey as the head coach has done, because Marcus Mariota in improvisational moments is fantastic. No doubt about it. He's a special talent, and for people to continue to, you know, the fact that there was even made mention before the Jacksonville game to end the regular season that Marcus Mariota was basically Jake Locker and that they need to draft another quarterback by people on Twitter and Facebook, which of course is just a cesspool of negativity. But I mean, there needs to be a certain amount of credit given to the coaching staff. Now, how much credit you are willing to give them is entirely up to you. But there, I mean, it's the ultimate team sport, right?
Yeah.
You have to get to this point together, otherwise you're not playing this late in the season.
Well, and let me say this, you know, we all sometimes want to be hard on Mike Mularkey and the coaching staff, and we want to try and discredit them. The fact of the matter is this: that's the staff that got your team to where they are. That's who you signed up with. That's who you got married to. You're John Robinson. You came into this relationship. You were told, hey, this is your head coach. This is the setup that we had to start this season, and they're playing. They are one win away from the AFC title game. Whether it was ugly, pretty, doesn't matter how you got here. The fact of the matter is Mike Mularkey is the head coach, got you here, got you to the dance. And that's something that Titans fans and media and everybody just kind of has to look at and go, well, clearly there was something. And I'll tell you what that something is.
Oh, you've solved it. You've figured it out, have you?
I was there. You've covered this team all year long. Mm-hmm. You've been in and out of that locker room, and I know you've seen it too. The fact of the matter is this team loves playing for him. They love playing for Mike Mularkey, and they are all supportive of him. You know, there might be some things that they disagree with. You know, you've used the word militaristic a few times about just how he – not necessarily that he's a jerk.
Yeah, not personality.
But militaristic in that he wants things, you know, he has a clear-cut form of how he wants things. He wants things, you know, I'm trying to find the right word here, but he wants things organized. He wants things to be a certain way. And I think that that's a little bit of an old school mentality, but these guys have bought into it and they rally around him. They like him as a person. I mean, he's a great guy to deal with, you know, from a media standpoint.
Yeah, never had a problem with him.
You know, and so he defends his players. He's a player's coach. And so I think that that's another way to answer why we're here.
Well, and all good points made by you, certainly.
Thank
but
you.
You know, Taylor. Well, you know, you in 3 hours you were bound to make one, Chase. Why not?
I got it out of the way early.
Get it out of the way in the first segment, and now the rest of the show you can coast. But and like you said, Mike is a very structured individual. He knows how he wants his program run, but he is also able to allow a certain looseness in that locker room from the players. They clearly love him. They clearly love playing for him. And there is, you have to have that belief in your coaching staff. And, you know, you can make mention of, well, Rishard Matthews criticized the play calling earlier the year, this, that, and the other thing. But Taylor Lewan, who we heard from before the show even began, had one of the most insightful quotes I think I have heard from a football player ever in terms of how they go about their preparation to get to this point.
It's hard to put 60 minutes together of football. It always is. Football is an endless pursuit of perfection that you'll never achieve. And you almost go insane sometimes just trying to achieve that perfection. And I think that's what makes a sport such a great sport. It's constantly trying to improve and be perfect every Sunday. So we just need to do exactly that, just play 60 minutes. And that's the never-ending goal.
As simple as that sounds, I agree with you that was very insightful. We'll discuss what Taylor Lewan just said as you listen to NFL Playoffs Live, brought to you by Park and Fly. We will be on the air until 5 o'clock. You and I will turn things over to Ryan Porth at 2.
The boss.
He will take it till 5 o'clock, and then Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans receiver Chris Sanders will be live from Drake's in Cool Springs for NFL Football Saturday Playoffs Edition from 5 until 7 as the Titans take on the Patriots. It's NFL Playoffs Live. Chase McKay, Buck Rising, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's hard to put 60 minutes together of football. It always is. Football is an endless pursuit of perfection that you'll never achieve. And you almost go insane sometimes just trying to achieve that perfection. And I think that's what makes a sport such a great sport. It's constantly trying to improve and be perfect every Sunday. So we just need to do exactly that, just play 60 minutes. And that's the never-ending goal.
Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan talking about the pursuit of perfection. Welcome back into NFL Playoffs Live. Chase McKay, Buck Rising here with you, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. We are on until 2 o'clock. We'll turn things over to Ryan Porth, who will then take it. We are live and local all day today leading up to the Titans and the Patriots in the divisional round of the playoffs, getting you ready for this game. It's been so long since we have talked about the Titans and a playoff run, 14 years. And the last time was when they took on the Patriots in the divisional round.
And that quote to me by Taylor Lewan is so fascinating for a number of reasons. And Chase, you've historically been with this team a lot longer than I have. This is my first year actually covering the Tennessee Titans. So my frame of reference.
And they made the playoffs, so I guess it was you.
Hey, good luck, Buck. My fascination with that clip is because of Taylor Lewan, because these guys in the locker room, and it's not the fault of the media that they are often asked such dull questions. But people like Taylor Lewan, Taylor Lewan's a really bright guy. And for him to consider the question that he was asked and to give such an insightful response, it's what fascinates me about him particularly and the sport in general, because this sport is infected with control freaks, right? And there are endless upon endless hours of preparation. And for him to basically just say, yeah, you know, this is an endless pursuit of a perfection that you're never going to achieve, it's exactly why we love football, because of the randomness. And so I really thought that was a cool clip, or a cool answer, a really thoughtful answer by Taylor Lewan.
The thing with Taylor Lewan is a lot of times, you know, we always say he's good for a soundbite. And sometimes it could be, like you heard at the top of the show, him being funny, him, you know, trying to lighten the mood. But a lot of times, if you really listen to what he has to say, it's very insightful.
He's a bright guy.
And you listen to that, and it's kind of like, it's not just football. I mean, everybody every day tries to be perfect, but nobody's perfect. I mean, that's just, you're going to make mistakes. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. You make mistakes every day. And I know that, you know, there are some people that kind of think everybody needs to do everything the right way the first time you do it, but it just doesn't work out that way. And so if you're Taylor Lewan looking at this from a football standpoint, he's right. And we as the media have to, you know, tear everything down and tear it apart and look at it and you know, break it down to a microscopic level. That's just what we do. And, yeah, there's a lot of things the Titans do wrong. There are. I mean, that's just – there's a lot of things that the Patriots do wrong.
I haven't noticed about what the Titans do wrong. I've only watched them all season.
Right. But see, here's the thing with the Patriots. We always just key in on, well, Belichick and Brady, you know, they've been together for 35 years and they've won 18 Super Bowls. And, you know, it's just.
Is that a record?
They do
for
nothing.
Both?
I think it might be. They do nothing wrong.
I mean, need to fact check me on that.
Tom Brady has fantastic hair. I mean, there's just, you know, everything about them is just perfect, perfect, perfect. But it's not.
Brady's even pretty when he cries.
As I made mention of our first show. As we have covered before. But that's. That's a very profound statement by Lewan that, you know, we're not going to do everything right. But the fact is, we're here. We made it this far. We have a chance. And I'll hit you with another sports cliche.
Hit me with it.
When you make the big dance, anyone's got a chance. I'll just rhyme for you. There you go.
Oh, I hate you so much for all of that.
But that's the way it is. Just getting in and the season resets, you never know what's going to happen. You know, last year, I've used this example a lot. You've heard this example a lot on our shows. But the Predators got in as the last seed.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to the Stanley Cup final.
That's right.
So, you never know. Titans can – nobody's giving the Titans a chance to go in there in Foxborough, a very tough place to play, albeit it's not what it used to be. The Patriots are, you know, they're vulnerable at times, not – a lot.
Are they?
They've lost some games this year. That look at the first game of the year against the Chiefs. That was not a very Patriots-like game.
We're talking about a down year for the Patriots, and they went 13-3, and they're the number one seed in the AFC.
I mean, I'm trying here.
What a nice place to live that
must
be.
I'm reaching, okay? I'm trying.
Unreal.
But look, you never know.
No.
And you know, conventional wisdom is going to tell you there's no chance that the Titans have that. You know, they're a 14-point underdog. There's no way they're going to go in there and beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
13.5 points. Let's get it right. Give them the credit they are due, Chase McCabe. 13.5 when I last looked at the line this morning. They obviously have a chance. They're physically in the game. You can't not have a chance if you're in the game. I mean, you know, it shouldn't be that simple, but it is. There are plenty of things that the Tennessee Titans do well, but how much that actually matters in this game is an entirely different question. I don't know if there was an area that you particularly wanted to start with, but I mean, I know certainly that two areas in this game I am legitimately concerned about. Number one, their ability to stop the run on defense. And number two, the fact that they are top 10 this season in the opponent yards per play that they're allowing. And so we'll get into that a little deeper, but those are my two areas.
I actually want to comment on that. Okay. Chase McKay, Buck Rising, NFL Playoffs Live, brought to you by Park and Fly, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Look, this and I'm going to tie all this together. I'm going to tie this to Taylor's statement and what we're talking about now. The pursuit of perfection is – you have to understand that Tom Brady is Tom Brady. He's going to make big plays. You can't take Tom Brady completely out of the game. If you try to do that, and if that's your number one focus, you are going to lose because you cannot confuse Tom Brady. You just can't. There's a reason that he's been around as long as he has been around. Gronk is a big piece of that offense. Gronk's going to get his yards. You have to try and contain him. You have to try and make a quick tackle, but you also have to understand that Tom Brady is going to get the ball to Gronk. That's just they're going to connect.
He's the focal point of that offense. He's basically a pterodactyl that they've taught to play football.
Yeah, you can't take him completely out of it. what you have to do is you have to figure out how to combat when he does get the ball, when Tom Brady does complete a big pass. It's having the right personnel there to make a quick tackle. You're not going to be able to completely take either one of them out of the game. If you can just go after it that way and understand that that's a part of their offense and that's a part of their game, then I think you're going to hang around a lot longer. It's kind of like a heavyweight boxing fight. You're not going to be able to knock them out in the first round. You have to be able to take some punches and hang with them and hit them with a few of your own and stretch this thing out. If you can do that, then yeah, they might have a chance at the end. But you're going to have to understand that Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and you have to respect that.
Even at 40 years old. And I mean, as 538 pointed out in an article earlier this week, I mean, there are signs that Brady is starting to decline. And there are a number of reasons for that. Number one, of course, his age. The guy is 40 and a half and will be the oldest quarterback to compete in a playoff game at this age. And he's, you know, as the season has wore on, his deep ball throwing has been considerably less than it was earlier in the season. And that's just, you know, that's a product of, again, age and his arm just wearing down. Now, I know it is blasphemy to say that Tom Brady does anything wrong or that Tom Brady is less than what we think he is. But these are facts that have been pointed out. Again, you can find the article about how Tom Brady is finally getting old on 538, and we'll dive into that a little bit later in the show. But there are what the Tennessee Titans do well, as we addressed earlier, are stop the run, and they don't give up big plays. Well, I don't think that necessarily matters, and that's my biggest concern. Because the Patriots, they don't adjust. Not only do they adjust their game plan on a game-by-game basis, they adjust their game plan on a possession-by-possession basis. And when the NFL matchup show on ESPN is one of the, if you're an actual football junkie, like if you care about the actual schematics of football, I really would suggest that you all watch that, because for people like me who are film nerds, and not film nerds, but who are really fascinated by the breaking down of play so that you're able to better understand football, that show does it the best by far. But
agreed.
What they point out in terms of how the Patriots are able to adapt their formations on offense, their fronts on defense, and their schematics on defense on a possession-by-possession basis, it's going to take away not only what you do well, but it's not even going to take it away. It's going to render it irrelevant because it's not going to matter. You can take away the chunk plays from the Patriots. They'll paper cut you to death with short and intermediate passes, and because they don't need to run the ball to kill clock. They can do it with the passing game. And so that immediately renders your two biggest advantages totally irrelevant.
He's Buck Rising. I'm Chase McCabe. NFL playoffs live on until 2 o'clock today. When we come back, we will head up to Foxborough. We'll bring in News Channel 5's John Burton. He is with the team as they get ready to take on the Patriots tonight. NFL playoffs live brought to you by Park and Fly, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on NFL Playoffs Live, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chase McCabe, Buck Rising here with you talking Titans, Patriots, the divisional round of the playoffs. The Titans are making a playoff run.
Something like that. That's the word around town, man. I am legitimately excited, and I'm not even a Tennessee Titans fan. I have no rooting interest in the game. Other than, you know, I mean, I feel like I say this every week, but this is a really great locker room, a really solid coaching staff in terms of people-wise, and so, of course, you root for them personally, but I'm really excited for this game. This is going to be a defining moment for the Tennessee Titans, either way.
Well, and you know who else it's going to be a defining moment? And look, I'm coming out and saying this. I agree with something that Jared Stillman said. And
really with this?
Yeah. He said, and it's a very obvious statement, but it's a true statement, that this could be a career-defining moment for Marcus Mariota. And you look at the past few weeks, the performance against Jacksonville, leading his team to make it into the playoffs, and to qualify by getting a win over the Jags. And then last week, leading a insurmountable comeback in the second half, making the block that he did for Derrick Henry, throwing the touchdown pass to himself. He has elevated his game in the last 2 weeks more than I think he has all season. If he beats Tom Brady and the Patriots, then yeah, I think you are changing the way you look at Marcus Mariota.
There's a line about that somewhere, isn't there? To be the man, you've got to...
Yes, and you know, this is a perfect segue into John Burton. John Burton live in Foxborough. Who was it that said, to be the man, you got to beat the man?
Oh, wasn't it the Berserker?
That doesn't sound right.
No, was it the Yeti?
It was not the Yeti.
No,
I like
quite.
The Yeti, but I don't think it was the Yeti.
You're the only person I've ever met in my life that liked the Yeti. What a horrible character that was for WCW. I believe it was the great Ric Flair.
Woo!
16-time heavyweight champion.
That's right.
The Nature Boy.
Amen.
How you guys doing, man?
We're good, John. How is Foxborough?
Well, I'm good. Did you guys survive Snowmageddon and the Ice Age and all that? What's going
Barely.
On in Nashville right now?
Barely. The roads are looking a lot better today. They've T-Dot's done a great job clearing them, and we were able to make it into the studio, but... You know, you've lived here a few years now. You know how it is that people get a little nervous when the winter stuff comes. And
yeah, John, it's not the weather I've been worried about. It's the people because of the weather that I've been worried about.
Man, I tell you, growing up in the Northeast and dealing with ice and snow for pretty much 10 months out of the year, you know, you just get used to it.
Your
mind gets conditioned to it. You know how to drive in it. You know when to slow down and all that stuff. Down south, it's a little different animal. So I remember my first couple of winters in Nashville dealing with that. And so it took some adjusting, but I'm glad everybody's okay and everybody survived.
Well,
I thought we kicked this darn game off already, man.
I'm
sick of talking about it. I love being on with you guys, and I'm honored to do it. But it's just, you know what I mean? Because I think you guys get this. I know you do, Chase, because, you know, hockey's a little bit different animal. Yeah, I mean, covering it, it's fun, but it's grueling. But it's, you know, game, day off, game, day off, game, day off. You don't spend a whole week, you know, trying to cover every single angle leading up to kickoff. So, yeah, I'll be happy when ball meets foot at 7:15 Central Time.
So you were at the team hotel. I was watching your reports last night on News Channel 5 when they actually got there, and they were delayed by quite a bit because they were sitting in the airplane on the tarmac here in Nashville for a couple hours before – they were actually able to take off. There was a plane had run off the runway, and there was an incident here in Nashville. So what was the mood of the team like when they finally got there, albeit delayed?
I would say it was a combination of business mood and relief that they were finally there and off the plane and off the bus. And, you know, they could actually go stretch their legs and go out and grab some dinner and just kind of, you know, unwind to take the edge off a little bit. So, you know, you worry about the bigger guys, the interior linemen, a situation like that when they're sitting for a long time. But the good thing about it is it's a late kickoff, 7:15, as we said. So they've got plenty of time between last night and all day today to get loosened up and get ready to go. So although it's going to be a pretty cold night tonight in Foxborough. So, yeah, it was a very business-like approach. It was funny. They were walking into the hotel and some slappy New Englander was like, yeah, go Pats! Yeah, how about you? Yeah, you can't beat Brady. And they just, you know, they just tuned it out, kept walking, so that was good. But it was good to see them finally arrive because, you know, in weather like this, you never know. And you know, it was one of those of mice and men situations. You know, they moved their time up to stay ahead of the weather, and they would have been all right had that incident that you mentioned not happened on the tarmac there at the airport. So, but they're here, and they're ready to go. And as you guys know, talking to them all week, they seem pretty loose and confident. It's funny you mentioned, I heard before I came on the air, you talking about, you know, Mariota can go legend tonight if he can beat Tom Brady in Tom Brady's house in a game that counts. Think about this, guys. You know, before I got to Nashville, I was in Buffalo, and then I was in Pittsburgh for a long time. I covered Ben Roethlisberger a long time. As great as he's been, two-time Super Bowl winner, he's a lock Hall of Famer. He's never beaten Tom Brady in a game that counts. And Mariota had the chance to do that tonight. So that's something to kind of stick in the back of your mind as you watch this game.
No doubt about it. John Burton of News Channel 5 with us on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We talked a lot about the weather, obviously. Is there any advantage to be had for the Tennessee Titans in terms of their style of play with the forecast looking like it's going to look heading into tonight against New England?
I think so, Buck, because, you know, cold weather football, you pack two things on the road. You pack your defense and you pack your running game. So if they can line up and control the line of scrimmage, get Derrick Henry running downhill on a cold night, as that game wears on, the temperature's only going to drop, and you don't want to tackle a 260-pound freight train on a cold night. You want to do it on a warm afternoon as well. So that could be an advantage to the Titans. Defensively, you know, the Patriots have some issues going at their running back position. You know, they've got some guys banged up. Rex Burkhead is a game-time decision with a knee. James White, there are reports saying that he is expected to play tonight, but he's dealing with a bum ankle. So these guys are so affected by the backfield, that may limit their mobility a little bit. So, you know, we talk about it every week, but you got to stop the run. You got to play physical at the line of scrimmage on a cold night and let the other team know, you know, you're going to be in for a fight. You know, the chess game is going to be between Brady and Dick LeBeau. You know, they've gone up against each other for a long time. And Dick LeBeau, knowing him, he's not going to stop what he's doing. He's going to blitz. He's going to do what he does. And Brady's had great success against Dick LeBeau coach defenses. So it's going to be up to Dick LeBeau and the Titans defense really to disguise his coverages, disguise some blitzes, try to fool Brady. And more importantly, get him off his spot. When he's sitting back there like Ken Stabler in the 70s, not even, you know, just ignoring the rush and standing on his tiptoes in the pocket looking for a receiver, that's not a good sign for the Titans defense. So, you know, even if you don't get sacks, hit him, pressure him, knock him down. Right. Do what the Giants did in those two Super Bowl wins.
I'm glad you brought up the defense, John, because the two things that the Tennessee Titans have done this year particularly well consistently, and that's important to mention with this Tennessee Titans team because there hasn't been a ton of consistency from week to week, but the two things that they have done well are take away big plays and to stop the run. The more that I look at how New England plays, the more that I'm convinced that the two things that the Titans do consistently well isn't going to matter in this game just because of how Brady and Belichick are able to adjust on a possession-by-possession basis. Do you think that they will be able to use those strengths to their advantage, or do you think that they're going to have those rendered irrelevant?
Well, I think as far as containing the run game, I think they'll be okay there. But the problem you just mentioned, Brady and Belichick, they're very patient. They'll take what you give them. And if they have to go on a 15-play drive to get it into the end zone, they don't mind doing it. They don't necessarily have to hit you over the top with a big play. You know, these aren't the Randy Moss days of the New England Patriots where you can hit those big plays down the football field.
Right.
And with Julian Edelman not a part of this anymore, you have to be that much more patient if you're Tom Brady and this offense. The problem lies for me is who's going to cover Rob Gronkowski. And we love Kevin Byard, FCSU guy, first team All-Pro. He's up for the challenge. He wants that challenge of trying to, you know, cover Rob Gronkowski. But think about this last week, guys, and you saw this. Travis Kelce was having himself a game against the Titans before he went out. That was a big part of the Titans being able to come back and win last week in KC.
No doubt.
I just fear once New England gets into the red zone, I'm not sure the Titans defense is going to have any answer for Gronk in the red zone.
John Burton from News Channel 5 on NFL Playoffs Live with us, ESPN 102.5, The Game. So you gotta pay respect to Tom Brady and what he's been able to accomplish in his career. And I think that these guys have been very good about answering questions about Brady and how they attack Brady. But do you think that there's also a fine line of understanding that, you know what, he's going to make plays. He's going to find Gronkowski. He's going to find the other wide receivers. It's being ready to make the tackles when he does make those plays. Do you think there's a fine balance in doing that and then just trying to get to Brady at the same time?
Yeah, you said it perfectly. I mean, it's going to be the little things tonight. You know, if it's 3rd and 8 and Rob Gronkowski or Brandon Cooks or you know, Chris Hogan or whoever, Chris Hogan's brother, catches a 6-yard pass, make the tackle at 6 yards. You know, get him off the field. Don't let them break a tackle and get that first down because those types of plays are demoralizing. You know, for a defense, when you make the right play, you make the right read, but you can't make, you know, the fundamental football play and get the tackle and get the guy on the ground. And the key to playing an offense and a great quarterback, I've found over the years, is you've got to make them earn everything they get. If they get the ball at the 20-yard line and they go 15 plays, 80 yards, and they stick it in the end zone, well, you tip your hat. You earned it. as we talked about just a couple of seconds ago, don't give up the big plays. Make your tackles. Make them earn everything they get. And then, you know, the more plays that an offense has, obviously the more chances there are for mistakes. If you have an opportunity to, if the ball's on the ground, you better get out and cover it. If you have an opportunity to make an interception, you better secure the catch and make sure you have the football. Those are going to be keys for the defense going up against, you know, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. And offensively, as we said, you know, stay ahead of the chain. Keep third downs manageable. Stay on the field on third downs. Sustain drives. You know, big plays, you're probably only going to be a couple opportunities for maybe big plays for the Titans offense. You better take advantage of them. And know going in, Belichick's going to try to take Delanie Walker away. Who's going to step up? Is Corey Davis going to step up? Is Eric Decker going to step up like he did last week? You know, Jonnu Smith, you know, there are a number of different guys. You know, Taywan Taylor, there are a number of different guys that will have opportunities in this game to make big plays because, again, Belichick's going to take Delanie Walker away. We know this. Or try to take him away or limit his effectiveness. Who else is going to step up offensively? And, again, it starts with that offensive line and running the football as well.
John, you guys have a special show before because the game's on your air tonight. Tell us about the show that you got.
Well, thank you for the plug, Chase. I appreciate
Absolutely.
That. Yeah, we're going to be games at 7:15. We'll have it for you on News Channel 5, so make sure you're tuning in. But before that, at 6 o'clock, we're going to have our special Road to the Championship special. Steve Lehman, assuming he gets here, he was on his way as of this morning. Steve Lehman and I will be live at Gillette Stadium. We'll be all over New England and Nashville showing you everything that's going on, getting you ready, our special preview from 6 to 6:30. Then CBS pregame takes over at 6:30, and then we'll have the game broadcast at 7. I saw Tracy Wolfson and Jim Nance in the hotel last night getting ready for the production meeting. They look ready and fired up. I didn't see Romo anywhere, but I'm sure he's around. So, yeah, we're looking forward to a big night of football. And then after the game, make sure you keep it right on News Channel 5 because we're going to have complete post-game coverage live from Gillette as well, all the post-game interviews, press conferences. So we got it covered for you. So just put it on News Channel 5 at 6 and throw away the remote because we got it covered all night. Stay inside. Weather's still a little crazy. Stay inside and watch News Channel 5.
We'll be doing it. Hey, JB, thanks. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Appreciate it, JB.
Johnny Nashville, John Burton.
Johnny Nashville, what a nickname.
Yeah, that's my guy right there. Appreciate John for joining us. We will come back, wrap up the first hour of NFL Playoffs Live, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. Next, Chase McKay, Buck Rising, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here. Woo!
NFL Playoffs Live. Chase McKay, Buck Rising, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville. We're in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios.
We are indeed.
Captain Kurt behind the glass. Again, coverage all day long. Ryan Porth will take things over at 2 o'clock. He will go until 5. And then Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, Chris Sanders will be live at Drake's in Cool Springs for NFL Football Saturday Playoffs Edition. And then after the game, Jared and Chris Sanders will have a post-game show up until 12:30. So as soon as the game is over, you can tune in and hear Jared and Chris break things down.
You know, I need to do something before we get moving on our next topic, and that is totally unprecedented in terms of Nashville sports talk radio. I need to pay Jared Stillman a compliment.
Okay. That was perfect.
Because Jared Stillman has been putting in countless hours on these airwaves in terms of the Titans coverage. He's been great about hosting playoff live shows after they get off the air at 6. I would be totally exhausted. Jared Stillman doesn't seem to be deterred, so I think Jared deserves as much praise as we can give him for the amount of time that he's dedicated to this.
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job.
But so have we.
Yeah, you've done a great job covering the team, and then Ryan Porth, our PD, putting all this together, and I've been around as well. So it's been a labor of love, and it's been fun to talk about a Titans playoff run. So something that I want to hit you with, we've had a lot of former Titans on 3D this week, and I know Eddie George was on with Jared and Floyd as well. So we've been trying to go down memory lane because the Titans played the Patriots the 2003 season. This was in January of 04. They went up to Foxborough, for a divisional round matchup, lost that game 17-14. We had Drew Bennett on, of course, who had two big catches in that game, but also had the key drop on the last drive.
Right.
We had Samari Roll that was a defensive back on that team. Rocky Boyman, though, who was an analyst for ESPN. He does radio in Cincinnati. He was a linebacker on that team, a special teamer at the time. He was on with 3D earlier this week, and he said something very profound that has been pretty much the message from everybody that's been talking about this game, whether it's former players or the media, and you're not hearing the team themselves really have this mentality, even though this is kind of how I think that they are thinking. But here's Rocky Boyman.
I mean, you're playing with house money right now. If you're a Titans player, what are you going to lose? Everyone thinks the Patriots are the greatest. This may be Belichick's greatest team ever, and Brady's playing at a level he's never been able to play at. And hell, no one expected much of you guys. So, you know, just throw caution to the wind. If I'm Malarkey, hell, I try some things. Maybe you try a fake or do something on special teams to try to get the Patriots off balance a bit. But I think you go in there with a mindset of, look, there's nothing to lose here, so let's just go cut it loose.
There's nothing to lose. And you hear the team, you've been around the team this week, they don't pay much attention to it. They like the underdog role. It's like, okay, nobody gives us a chance. That just motivates us even more. Is a team with nothing to lose the most dangerous? Because I think they are.
That's an interesting point. To a certain extent, I would agree. You're not the focus of all of this all week long has been the New England Patriots, whether it be about the ESPN Seth Wickersham story that came out about friction between Brady, Belichick, and Robert Kraft, the owner, whether it be about, you know, how historic a consistent playoff run that Brady and Belichick have been able to make. The attention has almost exclusively been on the New England Patriots. So from that perspective, you're coming into this, you're like, I mean, what's going to happen if we go out there and knock these guys in the mouth? There's really no expectation in terms of national perspective of the Tennessee Titans. Nobody's picking them really besides Maurice Jones-Drew. Nobody is giving them much of a chance. Nobody thinks that they do any one thing particularly well other than the people who have watched the team all year and can speak specifically to the areas that they do compete well in. I do think that there is some advantage to be had in going in with the mentality of what do we have to lose. But Bill Belichick has a famous mantra, and there is an NFL Network documentary on it, and it is do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are going in with the mentality that you have nothing to lose, you must also maintain a certain amount of discipline, because the minute that you start playing with reckless abandon and you start, you know, improvising,
agreed,
you are leaving yourself open to one of the most potent and dangerous quarterback and coach combinations in the NFL. Because if you are playing out of position, if you are improvising, I mean, Bill Belichick trades people for improvising. He traded I can't remember the name of the linebacker that he sent to the Browns, Jamie Collins. He sent Jamie Collins to the Cleveland Browns, the winless Cleveland Browns, because Jamie Collins would so often improvise in Bill Belichick's defense, and he was just tired of it. Do your job. Operate with the mentality that you have nothing to lose, that you are the underdog, and that you are going in here with zero expectation from anybody but your team. But play within your role. Do not play so recklessly that you miss assignments, that you improvise, that you put yourself out of position, because this is a game where you are going to have to play totally clean, because if not, they're going to pick you apart.
And that's been a concern for this team, that, you know, you've had receivers run the wrong routes or not be on the same page. You know, Marcus has sailed a few passes. You've had missed blocking assignments at times. You've had a DB get burnt on a few plays. You've had a Dory Jackson have rookie moments at times. So that has been a concern, and that's where a guy like Belichick is going to be able to exploit you. You have to do your job. And just to add to that a little bit more, I think Belichick, if he said the full sentence, it would be, do your job the way that I have laid out your job for you. And that's the truth. Because he has, when he lays things out a certain way, he expects his players to do it the way that he intended it to be done.
Because most of the time, it's the right way. There's a reason that Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels are up for head coaching positions this coming offseason. Because they are able to do so much to compete at such high a level with really, really limited talent in terms of what you look at defensively and offensively. And, I mean, offensively, you can make up for a lot because Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. But defensively, especially with the injuries, what they've been able to do because the players stay with their assignment, play within their role, do not put themselves in a position to be taken advantage of, that is almost as important. In fact, I would argue that it's more important than your skill level, because if you have 11 guys defensively or offensively in the exact position that they are supposed to be in, then you give yourself, as a team, the biggest advantage of all.
He's Buck Rising. I am Chase McCabe, NFL Playoffs Live. We're on until 2 o'clock, and then Ryan Porth will take over at 2 and go until 5. Then Jared Stillman, former Titans GM Floyd Reese, former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, they will take over for NFL Football Saturday Playoffs Edition live at Drake's in Cool Springs. So full coverage going on all day long. When we come back, we will dive more into this matchup. We will also, in the next hour, take a look at the other matchups for this divisional round weekend. There's a game on before the Titans today and then two tomorrow. But we, of course, are focusing on the Titans and the Patriots live in Foxborough tonight. You're listening to NFL Playoffs Live, brought to you by Park and Fly Nashville on ESPN 102.5 The Game.